Well, poor Job suffered, didn't he? And his friends immediately assumed, you must have sinned. Come on, fess up, you've sinned. We haven't sinned, we're not suffering. You suffered, therefore you sinned. We know that God's opinion of Job was that that man was upright. Job 1 verse 1. But the friends argue that Job is not in fact upright. Job 4 7. Whoever perished being innocent, or whenever were the upright cut off, that is if they haven't sinned. And they really keep on about, you are not upright. You have this in Job 8 verse 6, the same word is used. Therefore, they're saying, you're not upright, and God is afflicting you because you're not upright. And Job seems to, in the end, absorb that reasoning. And he says in Job 23 that because I'm not upright, this is Job 23, 7 and 8, because I'm not upright, that's why I can't find God. So he absorbs that false guilt. And at the end of it, God appears and basically says, now, I told you at the beginning, Job was an upright man, and so he is, he still is, and he was all the way through. But the point is that his religion and his so-called friends amongst the sons of God, supposedly, had put false guilt on him. Now, there is false guilt, and there is true guilt. Now, we should recognize that we are sinners and take true guilt for that before God. But there's a lot of false guilt, which is thrown around particularly by religious people. And it's quite possible that we come to absorb that. We need to remember that when struggling with feelings of guilt and when we see other people suffering with them. It's often helpful to suggest the idea to them that, look, there is false guilt and there is true guilt. And are you sure this isn't false guilt that's being put on you? It's often put on people if their kids don't turn out as other people think they should do. Or this or that doesn't work out in your life. You kind of done something right. Now, I think it's impossible by any sort of conscious kind of intellectual process to sort out within us what's the false guilt, what's the true guilt in my life. It's very difficult because who knows their own soul, as it were. It's very difficult to actually sort it out, to say, no, I should feel guilty for that, but I won't feel guilty for this. And in the end, if you keep consciously trying to do that, I think you will, in the end, sort of despair, really. Can I do it? Have I got the intellectual sort of apparatus to do it with? And I don't think we have, ultimately. But this is where huge meaning is attached to the fact that God accepts the work of the Lord Jesus as the equivalent of the guilt offering under the law of Moses. So whatever our guilt is, it is dealt with by God. It has been dealt with in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And so, therefore, we have been cleansed from that guilt. The whole thing is lifted. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the cross, that sin and the guilt that comes from that sin has been dealt with, and in fact all sin, or all guilt, is lifted, including that which we maybe have absorbed, as I think Job did, which we needn't have absorbed. And this is the great freedom, that we are now free from judgment. And above all, you're free from God's judgment, and you are therefore free from the judgment of other people. Paul rejoices about this in 1 Corinthians 4, when he says, in my own conscience, I don't know anything against myself, but that is not particularly significant because I have one who judges me, and that is the Lord. And therefore, he goes on to say, it is a very small thing for me if I am judged by other people. Now, we might all boldly say, yeah, it's a very small thing for me what people think of me. I don't care what people think of me. But in the end, you do. In the end, you do because you are only human. And yet, if we are in Christ, and if we believe that the judgment, as we read in John's Gospel, has effectively happened for us, if we abide in him, then it is a small thing what they think, what she thinks, what they think, what he thinks of you, because they are not the judges. And here you see the outcome of understanding a very simple thing, that God is the judge. Jesus is the judge at the last day, and the judge now. That simple truth is absolutely profound. If he is the only judge, then so what the rest of you think? If you go to jail or if you're punished for what you insist you did not do, and they all think, no smoke without fire, you must be guilty. Okay, so they do. So that's what society thinks. But your faith in the judgment of Jesus and the total lifting of all guilt, the real guilt, because none of us are without guilt, or should be without guilt, and also all the false guilt. This is the most wonderful thing. And finally, this is what Job comes to. But I think he has to come to it through the function of the friends in this whole story who put that guilt on him. And it's only through that experience that he finally comes to know and to believe that God has cleansed me of all my guilt. He was not totally innocent, because no man is without sin. He was upright before God, but that doesn't mean you're without sin. And he recognizes that, but he struggles to separate that false guilt and true guilt. It's quite normal for somebody in his situation. But that was finally dealt with, and it has been finally, ultimately dealt with for each of us who are in Christ.